of the WTO Lawyer Film Report, and he's a lawyer from Seattle. He's been traveling around with this film and organizing events just like this in Seattle. He's done about a block of them, and this is the first time it's being shown in New York. He just finished it. Thank you.
This is a wonderful turnout. It's really good to see everyone here today. This is very nice, especially in light of a lot of what is happening. I had been, among other things, the author of the Lawyer's Guild report on WTO, which is how I came in contact with Matt and Karen, that they had read the report that I've written, and I've been looking at doing a video on some of this very same subject. Just a lot of what appears in this film is just so bloody obvious in terms of the way this build-up of these paramilitary police that are just so much beyond anything that police are supposed to be, that are in fact becoming almost like soldiers and beyond anything that what soldiers were used to be even a little while ago. I'd seen a lot, sort of a progression of it, and it was something that just was very obvious when you just look for it. I'd been in the 80s with someone who lived in Humboldt County, Northern California, a lot of the area where you had the sort of so-called war on drugs taking place. And in that, I saw really just this complete out-of-control use of force that was taking place. I saw National Guard being used against a civilian population. Have people been able to hear me? Yeah, okay. I saw the National Guard being used against a civilian population. I saw people with AR-15s, that's fully M-16s, full automatic assault rifles doing house-to-house searches, going into people's homes, breaking up everything they owned, shooting their dogs, holding their kids at gunpoint. And it was under the guise of the war on drugs. And the thing I found was that the people who were so-called growers were actually people who were farmers, timber workers, didn't have anything left to cut, didn't have anything else that they could grow on their land. Most of them were actually kind of redneck in their political affiliation, so it was kind of an interesting twist. And when I moved north after living in Humboldt for a while, I became a reporter and video producer in Oregon, around Portland, Oregon, and discovered a couple of things that, a couple of programs, again, that kind of like shocked me in terms of the way I saw the police that were becoming something that was totally beyond the scope of what they were supposed to have been. I saw this paramilitary raid that had taken place where the police, again, utilized the National Guard, grabbed a home, went into this small, out-of-the-way block, held this entire block at gunpoint, broke into people's homes again, held people at gunpoint, fired what's become a lot more familiar to a lot of us, the less lethal weapons at some people. Found out as they began investigating the raid that the person who had been named in the warrant had moved out about a month ago, and that all that was seized was one marijuana cigarette. Sort of even sort of at a higher level when I moved to Seattle in the late 90s and got there just merely just by chance, just a few mere, maybe half a year before the WTO was selected as the site for, Seattle was selected as the site for the WTO. So I had all these skills organizing people and surveying cops and police actions and began organizing people. So helped set up the first IMC mostly to monitor cops and helped set up the National Lawyers Guild legal program to, again, watch the cops and have some sort of thing. And when I saw what was taking place there, again, it was a circumstance where just everything had just sort of gone completely out of control and beyond the pale of what we were used to seeing. A lot of it was crystallized when my father, who was in the audience and might want to comment on this later, had been a counselor in Rikers Island. And we were speaking about it a little bit afterwards, and he said, I was there. I was in Rikers Island during some of the riots, and what I'm seeing on the streets on TV now doesn't even match with what's going on now. It's just gotten that out of control. So we'll show the film now, and again, I want people to look at this as sort of as an activist tool in terms of something that we're looking at doing, getting people aware of this stuff. We're sitting on about 45 hours worth of interviews from this, looking at turning this into a series, because this is just something that I think needs to be talked about, especially in the wake of the sort of hysteria we're seeing after 9/11. And we'll get into some of that and some of the reasons we're seeing some of this stuff going out afterwards in the discussion. So I hope you enjoy the film, and thanks for coming.